And develop the chanting and the puja. We are get Sister Lee to help us. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully. To develop the faith, the sadha in the Buddha and his teaching. Then after that, we pay respect mindfully. Then we start.
南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，波野婆罗蜜多心经，观自在菩萨行深波野婆罗蜜多时，照见无蕴皆空。度一切苦厄，舍利子，舍不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色。受想行识亦复如是。舍利子是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色，无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舍身意，无色声香味。诸法无言界，乃至无意自界，无无明意，无无明尽，乃至无老死意，无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无自意，无得已，无所得故，菩提萨埵依波野婆罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想，究竟涅槃。三世诸佛依波野婆罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，故知波野婆罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚。故说波野婆罗蜜多咒，即色咒业，揭谛揭谛，婆罗揭谛，婆罗僧揭谛，菩提萨婆诃。
Okay, thank you so much. Now we will continue with the English Heart Sutta. We shall chant together. The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandha and saw that they are all empty. And he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled and pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in emptiness there is no form, feeling, cognition, formation or consciousness, no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body or mind, no sight, sound, smell, taste, object or touch or dhammas, no feel of art, up to and including no field of mind consciousness, and no ignorance, and ending of ignorance, up to and including no old age and death, or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, no way, and no understanding and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid. And he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind, ultimately Nibbana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyat Sambodhi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. Therefore, know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate paragate parasam gate dohisattva. Okay, we will now commence the Theravada pre-puja chanting. We start with the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vērāmanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnādānā vērāmanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vērāmanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vērāmanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmērayā majjhāpamādatthānā vērāmanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the Buddhas, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the other worthy ones. Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We shall start the verse on opening the sutta, then we start. Okay, verse on opening a sutta for the Heart Sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now hear and see, I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Thank you. Okay. So now we will continue with the short notes. We turn to page 1 of the short notes. Okay. 21st Heart Sutta short notes. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta. So the first part is a recap and emphasis on the previous lesson. Okay, this one is just to help you all to refresh what we have actually done. So I will today read through quickly because there are 4 or 5 pages involved. Purification of sila or virtue or morality, followed by citta or mind, content of consciousness, and ditti, means these 3 types of purification: morality, citta, and ditti, followed by the purification of knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt, are very important cultivation. Especially the first 3 cultivation. One must get it right. The reason is, most people when they cultivate, they only do the first part, sila. So when they do the sila, they try to go into meditation. But when they go into meditation, they didn't really do the citta visuddhi. Here, citta visuddhi is not just concentration. It's not just developing the calm mind. It's not just developing all the normal meditation. Here, citta visuddhi, like I explained last night, is initially when you cultivate, you train your mind to be mindful and heedful, remember? After you are mindful and heedful, you can see your mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought process. This is the first cultivation. Here you can only develop the sila visuddhi because you only be aware of the evil root. You don't have to do anything else. When you know you are selfish, you realize that it is an evil root. It will make you very evil, so you have to arise the right effort to abandon it or prevent it from arising. Then whatever evil root that follow is the same. So this is sila visuddhi. But when you come to citta visuddhi, you go deep into the consciousness, the content of consciousness. You are not only mindful of the evil root. You go in and find out, why is this evil root there? How did it come about? The condition behind is arising. Before you are angry, you are not angry. Understand not? So all this is citta visuddhi. So this is how you put the Buddha Dharma to test. This is Dhamma investigation. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Dhammapada verse 183, 21, 22, 23. And all the other teaching that he has taught you. The 5 hindrances of mind, the spiritual faculty, and all those things. So when it comes to citta visuddhi, it's not just to train the mind to be peaceful and calm. It's not just to develop samatha or concentration. You have to go deep into the content of consciousness and understand how when you are peaceful, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no selfishness, no emotion, no evil roots. But once the evil root comes to be born of the conditioning caused by a delusion, then your mind stir. The moment your mind stir, you realize it get entangled. Then when you put to test and investigate, you realize Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, they are very true. They stand up to investigation. And this is how your right view come to be, understand or not? Right view regards to law of karma. How do good begets good, do evil begets evil. How when you have wholesome mind, very, very, what they call beautiful mind state, you are very peaceful, you are very happy, and the condition is very conducive for wholesome karma to ripen. So all this you will come to see. Then the nature's law of how your mind functions, how suffering comes to be, the cause behind, how it can end, and the path leading, you will witness them in your consciousness. Then you see how your mind functions, the content of consciousness. the various mind state, one by one, you start to see the dependent origination, the dwelling. So once you have this cultivated, your purification of ditti or view come to be. Understand? So if you don't do citta visuddhi, ditti visuddhi cannot come about. So that's where most people cannot have the right view cultivated. They only do sila, and sila also based on what they understand, not the proper one. Most of it is suppression, control. Then they do concentration. They develop the calmness, the good mind state, the fantastic calm state, and various type of what they call fantastic meditation. But they fail to understand that the real meditation is to develop the wisdom, to see clearly with your silent mind, the awareness within, how your mundane mind get caught in negativity, how it stir and condition your suffering. And all this is what you need to liberate and free your mind, to insight into the characteristic of nature, anicca dukkha, so that you are no longer deluded. So this is why, if they don't follow properly the teaching of the Buddha to cultivate all this, very difficult to develop the enlightenment. So I will continue. Especially the first three purifications, sila, citta and ditti. One must get it right. The understanding of Dhammapada verse 183 on the advice of all the Buddha is also very important, for they are based on a deep understanding born of right view with regards to law of karma. So because of this law of karma, we are born of karma, head of karma, condition supported by our karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So you know karma is very important. So the Buddha actually, based on this, he said you must avoid all evil, take care of your karma. Then you must develop the wholesomeness, do good, then purify your mind to become enlightened. So that is how the advice come about. So from the advice, starting of course with all evil is to be avoided, we have to understand. So what are evil? The three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are roots of all evil. So if your mental intention behind all your action, speech and thought process are with this evil root, then it will condition you to become very evil, hence creating one's negative karma, where you reap what you sow. Take for example selfishness or anger. And anger. Once this evil root are there, it can condition one to kill and harm and take advantage of situation for their personal selfish gain. So evil roots are very evil, roots of all evil. So you need to abandon them. You need to have stable mindfulness to see them. Then with citta nupassana, you can abandon them. When the wisdom is there, you know that they are so evil, you immediately will let go. You will not cling. Then the other part is sankhara, mental state or content of consciousness. There are 52 according to the Buddha. Some are wholesome and some are unwholesome. So we need mindfulness and heedfulness to be aware of them, so that we can avoid all evil. We are this heedful mind. With heedfulness and sati or mindfulness, we can see clearly how our mind gets conditioned into negativity. Mind states with these three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion via our own ignorance and self-delusion. How we got ourselves entangled with the evil mind state of anger, hatred, selfishness, lust, envy and jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, etc. through our lack of understanding of the truth, thereby conditioning us to grasp and cling onto the unreal. Unreal because all of phenomena, they have these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, or empty nature. Without wisdom, we will not understand how we are conditioned into negativity. So that's why you need to have wisdom. So the three characteristics of nature you need to awaken to. Understanding the third noble truth that suffering need not be if we have developed the wisdom before confronting the first noble truth realities of life and existence is very important, and that enlightenment in the here and the now is possible once we had awakened to the three universal characteristics of nature. With wisdom and awareness or sati, we can just be aware and let things be. We are seeing things as they are. So this part is very profound. You need to reflect, contemplate, and understand. Then there is no more suffering. That is, we can just accord and flow with condition without any resistance. Hence, no suffering and unhappiness. We are wanting things our way, which is not nature's way or reality, which is what is. We cannot argue with what is or the reality. Sati or mindfulness, which is the first factor of enlightenment and most important spiritual faculty, is very important. Because without sati, there is no heedfulness. And without heedfulness, there is no spiritual life. Eh? Dhammapada verse 21. Eh? The heedless are as if dead. So without sati, one cannot investigate the Dhamma, which is the second factor of enlightenment, to strengthen one's faith and virya. One must investigate into the following important Dhammas. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, 21, 22, 23, and 183, and confirm that these truths stand up to investigation, thereby establishing our faith in the law of karma as explained by the Buddha to reaffirm our right view with regards to this law of karma. Then all our sankhara or mental activity, inclusive of all our feeling and perception, are impermanent. For they arise and pass away constantly and are in a state of continuous flux. Thought activity also come and go, arise and pass away. You can see its birth and death, appearing and disappearing, exhibiting its characteristics of impermanence constantly. With wisdom within, one sees it clearly, whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is very heedless. Then my teacher used to tell me, finally there is only pure awareness, nothing else, which is the true mind. This I came to realize later when the rather gross mundane or thinking mind collapsed, leading to the true mind, which is just pure awareness and silent within. It is very fine, like no mind. It is like the pure nature or awareness just shine forth when the mundane mind or thinking mind is no more. Means your true nature, your essence of mind, that pure nature actually all the time there. But the problem with human being is you cannot feel it or you cannot realize it because of what? You think a lot. You create sankhara. You create other things to clog it, understand not? That's why this pure nature, the pure awareness, like a baby's mind, that sitting as they are, you have lost it. You forgot you are that before your thinking, before your grasping, before your reaction of mind and wrong view that condition you into so such a heedless human being. The moment you realize this profound understanding, your mind will silent by itself, quiet by itself. And then you realize, hey, there is this pure awareness. There is this, what they call, silent within. The essence of mind is always there. You only need to realize that. That is coming home. Contact your nature within. The moment you can understand this, your cultivation and progress will transform. It will take you to another level of understanding. Then you will not be deluded by what your mundane mind create through thought. Then you will know how to go beyond thought-based meditation. Otherwise, you cannot. You keep on believing that to meditate, there must be a meditator. The meditator is the thought, and the thought cannot see beyond thought. So your thought-based meditation will block you. You're always stuck there. That's why you cannot go beyond. And a lot of meditator tribe, cultivator, sometimes very sad, even very long time meditator, they are trapped. Then surprisingly, even many, many monks may not understand as yet. That's why we are very used to using our thought. That's why everything you use our thought to think. Like in school, you don't understand what the teacher say. Go back, think about it. We have this wrong idea, thinking that when we think, we can understand. When you think, you can get some form of what they call knowledge out of it, understand? Or? But not wisdom. Wisdom cannot come out of thinking, understand? Or? No amount of thinking can create wisdom for you. Because thinking is thought-based, within the field of thought, limited. It's only through a silent mind, a creative mind, they reflect and contemplate. That's why this understanding can come. Then later on, you don't even reflect and contemplate. You just silent and do the four foundations of mindfulness. Then within that silent mind, you will awaken to phenomena. You will insight into the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self. And you awaken by yourself without thought. You will understand all of these universal characteristics. Then all the Buddha Dharma, the teaching, all you understand by yourself. No thought involved. Once you awaken, all the Dharma becomes so meaningful. Like everything becomes clear to you. But before that, you will be trapped because all are knowledge. And when you believe the knowledge is what that is and you think you know, you get into trouble. Like the last few sessions I share with people, we were discussing something. And there was one lady, I think Joyce, the Thursday class. She said her friend, very close friend, 20 over years friend, suddenly heart attack, passed away, 60 over years old. And she told me, "Ratio, today I'm very sad." Oh, I say, "How come?" He said, "My friend passed away, 60 over years old. Very close friend." Then I say, "Do you know why?" You know what was the answer? Standard answer. Attachment or... But when you answer like that, you can never learn. Do you understand? This is knowledge, understand not? You never go deep into the consciousness. What is attachment? Who attach? What attach? How does attachment come to be? I say, you remember what you said just now? My good friend, 20 over years. Who tell you all this? Who tell you all this? Your memory. That's why we now understand. The memory, understand or not? And what is memory? It's already the past and part of Sankara, understand? Your mind activity. That's why the Buddha said, in short, the final summary of the First Noble Truth. It is your delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling at your aggregate of mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, that condition your suffering, that I call dukkha. So which are the aggregates she grasps onto? The perception of her good friend, the memory of Sankara that create the thought and say, he is a very, very good friend for the past 20 over years, understand or not? Then there is this, you miss her, understand or not? So all this attachment come from your clinging and grasping to all this thought that you create through your wrong view. You remember what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, suffering and misery. That's why you got sadness, understand not? But you arise the wrong thought. You cling on to memory, you cling on to what you perceive. You cling on to the feeling that arise after you perceive them. Understand? After you recall to mind. Then your consciousness part is the mental consciousness that you create. you create the image of her, then you visualize her, you recall to mind. So you see, all this is cittanupassana. Understand? But when you are suffering with the sadness, you cannot see. You only say, attachment law. Then you are blocked there. Understand? You should, like the Buddha said, I told her, the three turnings of the Four Noble. Now is the time to learn, to use it. Without suffering, you cannot understand the second turning. So the Buddha said, the first turning is proclamation of truth, the first noble truth. What is dukkha? The eight conditions behind. Birth, old age, sickness and death. Separation from loved one and the thing that you hold on to dearly, your wealth, your possession, your business or whatever. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, and when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way. So in short, the final summary. This is the first turning. After hearing this, if you cannot awaken, then you have to go to the second turning, the Buddha said. You have to reflect and contemplate on what the Buddha said. Why did the Buddha say the first noble truth is so powerful? Under the final summary, he said, in short, it's my grasping and clinging to all this fire aggregate of form and mind that condition my suffering. So you immediately inquire, throw this out. Why did the Buddha say that? So to understand the mind will know, I need to understand what this fire aggregate is. Then the inquiry will allow you to reflect and contemplate. Who am I? What am I? Yeah, I got a physical body. Yes, this is the rupa, first aspect of form. Then I got a mind consciousness that is capable of feeling, perception, creating memory, activity of mind, thinking, mental state and consciousness. So this is form and mind, correct? So now I know. Then I want to put to test what the Buddha said, the final summary. If I attach and cling to any of this, do I suffer? Now I reflect and contemplate on what this suffering is, the death of my good friend. How it conditioned me into this state of suffering. That's why you have to trace the origination back. You have to go deep into the consciousness and feel. Why are you sad? Sad over what? Who is sad? Who grabs and who clings? Nobody there. It's your delusion that conditioned you to think that way. Wrong thought. Understand? And you grasp that memory, perception, feeling, consciousness. This is how you get yourself entangled. And once you understand all this, then the second turning becomes meaningful. That's why the Buddha says, after you have heard what he has spoken under the first turning, the proclamation of truth, the second turning, you must reflect, contemplate, and inquire into all the truth that he has spoken. So when you reflect, contemplate, and inquire, all this understanding will come, like what I have described. You now follow, eh? So when you have this understanding, then you come to know, why am I still so deluded? Still grasp onto this fire aggregate of form, still think that I am real, still think that my this good friend is real. He is another form of mind, another form of mind. Who the hell you think you are? Understand? So through delusion, you created the Sakkaya Ditthi, then you create thought, then you grasp at your aggregate of consciousness and mental, and the physical form. Then you even grasp at your friend's physical form. My good friend. See? Separation from loved ones. Or the thing that you hold on to dearly. So that's why all this constitute delusion that condition your grasping. That condition your suffering. So now you go deep into citta nupassana. Then you understand. This is what I mean by citta nupassana. Means go in and investigate and realize it, then awaken. Then this one nobody can take away, understand? Because you see it. It's only your thought, just an image, consciousness. How real can it be? Consciousness come and go. Form and mind come and go, understand? Then who are you? It's not a permanent and changing entity. If you are not real, how can your good friend be real? That's why you are holding on to content of consciousness and thought. It's only a thought. How come it got power to make you so miserable? So now you see the empty Dhamma, understand? the empty nature of existence, the non-self nature, the anatta nature. Once you have this wisdom, you break free. But human beings don't do that type of meditation. They go and sit. Oh, very calm. They see light. They see all this marvelous meditation. Then they say, oh, I got first jnana, second jnana. They equate this as something fantastic. But that cannot free you. That's why after that you come out, you are still the same old self. You can still get angry. You can still become afflicted, very sad, very miserable when your loved one is afflicted. Why? Because you never have this wisdom within. So these are the powerful teaching. So this is what I need to explain to you. I have explained this the last session. But this session I put in notes. Then I explain again, become clearer to you. Clear or not? So now you know what meditation is. Don't just like before. Four Noble Truths, I know. Suffering, cause of suffering. This is theory, this is knowledge. You must reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Go deep into it. Then all of the understanding will come out. Then the third turning is the most beautiful. No knowledge, nothing. Just meditate. Means just be aware, silent. Then you will awaken. You will insight into the characteristic of nature. No thought involved. This is the real meditation. Not what you think or other people think. That's why it's very difficult to penetrate. That's why sati, mindfulness, is very powerful, very important. Without sati, you cannot meditate. You cannot start. There is no heedfulness. That's why sati is very important, very powerful, mindfulness. Okay, we move on. But there is such a thing as life, even though it's only within the moment. As we have established earlier, the past is already gone, hence not a reality anymore. Similarly, future has yet to happen, so it is also not a reality. Hence, the only reality in existence is the present moment. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So as real as it can be, it is only within the moment when it arises. Understand or not? After that, it's dead and gone. No more. After that, it is dead and gone. Dead and gone means no more, empty. So do wake up. Do not dream anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think. It's just an image, a consciousness that arises within your mental or mind. As long as you are not deluded to grasp and cling onto this mental creation or image, then you are okay and you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp, and don't cling or attach to anything, even through memory. This is very important. Don't go and recall and retrieve. Then you will be free and peaceful always. Without delusion and ignorance, you are beautiful. When you can see things as they are, then you will not be deluded by it. The form and mind will be clear to you. Hence, no more entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering. Because it's only form and mind, right now. He know you, he know me. This one is not you, not me. Karmically conditional for you to use. The reason being, the mind had awakened to the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, hence no longer gullible. Because you see the anatta nature, the empty nature, the non-self nature. And that is a very powerful characteristic. That's why if you don't penetrate emptiness, you cannot understand the Dhamma. You can talk, let go, cut here, cut there. Nothing happened. You are still the same old thing. You have to awaken to this universal characteristic. Suddenly, one day in your meditation, you suddenly realize, it's just like that. Everything is just like that. Empty. Mind make ade, consciousness based ade, cannot be grasped, cannot be cling, not a permanent unchanging entity. Just come and go, come and go. Then why are you so foolish? Do you think that you are real? You exist. There is such thing as life, understand or not? This form of mind, although not you, but you can use it to live, understand or not? We are connected to your nature, understand or not? And because of wisdom, this form of mind can become beautiful, understand or not? Then you can have the good life. That's why there is such thing as life, even though it's not real, empty. That's why Heart Sutta said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. This is the deep meaning. When you penetrate true emptiness, when you have the wisdom, existence becomes wonderful, very beautiful. Okay, I read on. With heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all its mental intention and movement. You will come to know how you are conditioned into negativity via your mind's delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto your five aggregate of form and mind as the I and the me and the mind. You will also come to know how your like and dislike comes to be via your reaction to your sense experience. Means to what you see and perceive at the moment of sense experience. When you lack wisdom, or yoniso manasikara, which is wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you will come to experience all of the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination or dwelling, and how your mind functions via witnessing the dwelling occurring within your mind. Always aware within and develop the ability to use the trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of the direct seeing to clearly awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta to liberate your mind. You will come to witness how all your feelings arise and pass away just like a bubble. All of your perception, activity of mind and mental consciousness are also exhibit the same characteristic of impermanence, leading to your ability to realize their anatta or empty nature and suffering nature within all phenomena. So this is a very important revision, review. You must go back, reflect, contemplate, understood it. Then you know how to cultivate. Then you don't get trapped like before. Not knowing what is meditation, just sit and calm your mind, develop the tranquility, the peace, thinking that is meditation. No. The real meditation is sati, mindfulness, awareness. First turning, second turning, and the third turning. Okay, we come to the Heart Sutta part. Form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Okay, this topic is very interesting. It's not easy to understand. This concept of form is emptiness, and emptiness is form is very difficult to grasp, and most people cannot understand. There are also some Buddhists of the Theravada tradition who think that Mahayana teaching is not authentic, because they cannot accept that the Heart Sutta's teaching that said form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. But for those who understand, there is no such problem, because basically the Buddha's teaching on anatta, as presented in the Theravada tradition, also give the same meaning for anatta as non-self and empty nature of all phenomena. That's why there is such word as sunyata, or emptiness. For whatever that is impermanent, like the Buddha said, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it's not reliable, that we can cling on to and say, this is me and these are mine. That is, they cannot be owned or possessed in the sense that ultimately they are all mind-made and empty, because form and mind is all condition arising. Hence, he know you, he know me. Also, the Buddha always said, rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Before something exists in space, there is only space or emptiness. So form does not have any different characteristic with emptiness, because later only the form come and occupy the empty space, understand? So in form, you are able to see and understand the principle of emptiness and hence not get attached. If we can go into the mind, then we will know that all knowing comes from mind, as mind is the forerunner of all things. So everything is only consciousness appearing and disappearing. So how real can they be? Reason why is empty, just a mental image conjured by consciousness, who is the great magician as explained by the Buddha via his analogy of the five aggregate of form and mind. So these are the very important Dhamma. Then we move on to part 3, meditation. All the phenomena, whether physical, mental or nature's phenomena, they all exhibit these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. Starting with our in and out breath, our footstep, every footstep you take, the birth and the death, appearing and the disappearing, the coming and the going, including our heartbeat, our feeling, our perception, our thought and consciousness, and our bodily vibration, etc. They are all continuously arising and passing away following nature's law. So you will see them appearing and disappearing, the birth and death, the rise and fall. Moment of its arising is sustained and is disappearing. Clearly, we are the silent mind in direct seeing to awaken to these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, to break free from Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion. You can only break free when you see it within the moment. Means at the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away with mindfulness without thought. There and then you see, you awaken. Otherwise very difficult. If you constantly think and have this heedless thinking, you cannot see. Because you are clouded by what the thought is doing. And you can only see, do one thing at a time. Either you are aware to understand what is going on, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with something else. That's why when you try to think and understand, you cannot understand. Yeah, your thinking cloud you, understand? You are clouded by what you think. And your thinking comes from what? Your conditioning, your memory, your delusion from the past. Not from wisdom, not from an understanding, not a creative nature that can see things as they are. So all this you will come to understand. See clearly is condition arising. How when condition arise, the phenomena come to be. And how when the supporting condition for its sustenance are still there, then the phenomena will continue to exist. And how when all the supporting conditions cease to be, then it will lead to the disappearance or cessation of it, of the phenomena. Hence, comprehending is impermanent, non-self and empty nature. Then you will come to understand that if you try to hold or cling onto things and want it your way, which is not nature's way, then suffering will come to be. This is how you react to your sense experience, sense perception via delusion that condition your evil roots to arise. Evil roots are the roots of all evil, hence they have the power to condition you into negativity via your evil action, speech and thought. This is the reason why heedfulness, the photos there is not clear, heedfulness to understand all this is very important. And with heedfulness, you will be able to constantly investigate the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha to confirm that they are the truth. What is this word? I cannot see here. They are the truth? Hands, hands establishing your right view. Yeah, you use your pen and write it down. Next time, don't use this shop. This shop photo stat is no good. Go to another shop. Bishop's photo step machine is the drum. I think already not service. Not good. Or the last page is even more difficult to see. Never mind, we will read through. The Buddha Puja or Buddhist devotional practice as taught by the Buddha are very useful practices, recommended by the Buddha to help us develop the five spiritual faculty of Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, needed for us all to receive and understand his teaching more easily. Silence your mind to do the Buddha Puja with a very strong faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. We are understanding who he is and how special and great he is, then bow mindfully. This will develop a very strong, calm and composed mind, leading to the establishment of Virya and Sati. Virya is spiritual zeal, Sati is mindfulness. Then with the strong Sadda and Virya, means the faith and the spiritual zeal, you bow mindfully to pay respect or reverential salutation to the Buddha, to decondition the heedless thinking that you have been arising throughout the day, thereby calming the mind to develop the stable sati or mindfulness within. Reason why the constant bowing and chanting of the Buddha's name as practiced by the Mahayana are also helpful, can also help develop the strong Sadda, Virya and Sati needed to develop the wisdom. There are also many benefits that can arise because the bowing or reverential salutation is also a very meritorious action. Then apart from developing the faith, we can also make use of this merit to make the necessary aspiration to walk the path of Dhamma smoothly by avoiding all the foolish, the fools, and only meet up the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. So when we bow mindfully with the strong Sadda or faith and Virya, our mind is very calm and very composed, and they will help us to develop the very stable mindfulness or Sati much more easily, and it also leads us to cultivate humility. At the same time, we exercise our body. Sati is awareness before the knowing or arising of thought, just a pure awareness within. So this bowing should be done with understanding. That is, we bow to establish mindfulness or awareness without thought, so that the body and mind move as one in perfect synchrony and harmony. Once mindfulness has been established, then use it to cultivate the four postures of standing, walking, sitting and lying down. That word is lying down. Then followed by the cultivation of sati sampajana or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and movement in the present moment to develop the initial vipassana wisdom born of the direct seeing of the three universal characteristics. Only then can we proceed with the contemplation of the four elements and the 32 parts within your physical body of ours, and the 9 stages of cemetery contemplation to finish off the kayanupassana cultivation. After kayanupassana, we proceed to cultivate vedanupassana and chittanupassana, followed by the final Dhamma Nupassana. This will fulfill the four foundation of mindfulness. So after Kaya is Vedana, we proceed with Vedana Nupassana. Okay, we end. So we still got half an hour plus. Okay. Now we shall continue with our Heart Sutta, page 57. So we start somewhere after the poem. Yes, on the line. Cast down all the stained thread of course and join the family of the Tathagatam one, the Tathagata. To cast down the stained threads of course is to have come close to the realization of Buddhahood, to have come towards the Das. Das means suchness. One who has realized Buddhahood is called the Das Kam One. Not having realized Buddhahood, we are said to be coming towards the Das. This one is another interpretation. Only when we arrive can we become Das. If we have not arrived, we are not Das. Arrive where? Where is the Buddha? Das is everything, fully united with principle. That's why it's the great Tao. With the noumena. You know what is noumena? It's the opposite of phenomena. The phenomenal world is anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. Phenomenal world. The noumena is not perceivable by the mind because there is no sense data involved. That's why it's the unconditioned. But the phenomenal world is within the noumena world. Not the smallest thing is wrong. Everything is right. Just that is to come towards the Das. So this is an explanation. Okay, we come to emptiness. Emptiness is true emptiness, and form is wonderful existence. This is the part. So now you understand why emptiness is wonderful existence. So true emptiness is not empty because it's wonderful existence. Understand or not? Doesn't mean emptiness mean nothing. Understand or not? That's why a lot of people wrong view after they cultivate it. Everything is not real empty. So what they do? Everything also they give up. Understand or not? That is the wrong view. When you have wisdom and understanding, you can still live. That's why I shared with you all last time. Initially when you cultivate, the Mahayana always say, Kan san pu si san. Understand now? When you see the mountain, it's not mountain because mountain is a concept, it's an idea. Understand now? So that's why you see it's not a mountain at all. It's only a consciousness. Understand now? You come to know it through the consciousness. But then the funny thing is, after you become enlightened, you see the mountain, you agree it's mountain. Finally, you agree back. Like nothing has changed. Why? Because when you have wisdom, everything is still the same and wonderful. Understand? Means you know how to live within the existential world. You can, like the lotus flower, born from the pond and the mud, but rise above. That's why when you rise above, you can still live within. Understand? But you are not affected by the dirty thing, by the defiling thing, by the suffering of the world, because you have this wonderful existence born of wisdom, born of understanding through emptiness. So that's why here, emptiness is not everything also don't exist. Everything also empty, so you give up everything. Everything also not real, so they say don't do anything. So when you don't have this right understanding, then you don't appreciate life. You cannot understand what life is. Then existence, the wonderful part, you cannot understand. You cannot realize. That's why people go to the other extreme, develop the wrong view. You know what most people do? They cultivate, and become very, very, very different. Then they realize everything is like that, because that is not a real penetrative awakening or realization. They come to do this so-called insight meditation, the 16 stages of insight. Then they see the danger of sankhara. Then they develop fear. They develop this dispassion and all those things. Then it becomes a negative state. Understand? Then they run away from society. They don't want to get involved. You say it's crazy, the world. full of suffering, full of noise, full of all these things disturbing. This is not what I want, so they run away. Then, because sometimes they are so affected, the delusion is so strong, they thought spiritual person must not indulge, must not have what they call good food, because they say it's craving. Because they don't understand. But it appears very logical when they tell you, yeah, you are spiritual, no? You cannot have craving, no? Why you want to eat good food? Buddha never say you cannot eat good food. He said don't attach to the good food. When there is condition to eat, he also eat. The king invited him, offer the best. He also eat. But his teaching is not to get attached and grasped onto through delusion. Understand or not? There is no such thing that you cannot have, cannot experience it. That's why with wisdom is totally different. Then when you have wisdom, it's not the world that is not peaceful, disturbing you, understand not? It's your wisdom inside, not there. You cannot see things as they are, you cannot accept the reality of the moment. That's why you are afflicted. That's why finally when you come to awaken, kan san yu shi san, means when you see things, you see them as they are. Initially, through the cultivation, you will see mind make are they empty, condition arising, consciousness based. You will see all this first. But finally, when you realize they are just the way they are, no need to talk already, no need to explain already, then you can still live. Understand? That's why I can still behave like a normal human being. I can still laugh, I can still do whatever I want. But inside, very clear. Understand? No delusion. No those, what they call, entanglement anymore. No more suffering, no more all these things. But the form and mind can still live, understand not? Because of that wisdom connected. Then this one doesn't suffer anymore. So that is the part. So we go on. True emptiness is not empty because it's wonderful existence. Wonderful existence is not existent. See? And this part is very interesting. Because it is also true emptiness. So from what place does emptiness appear? It appears where there is existence. Understand not? Because before existence come into being, there was nothing. Originally, there was nothing, like Hui Neng say. Understand not? That was the original state of everything. Before anything arise, it was the pure void, understand not? The pure Tao, the source of all things. From here, everything come to be. So when this one come, it starts to stir and condition consciousness. That's why we talked about last time, when the form and mind come to be, then you deludedly grasp onto it. Because consciousness created the world, the continent, and the universe. Understand? Through consciousness, like a great magician, you become conscious of them. Understand? So all of the planet, the world system, the stars, the universe, they appear. Understand? So consciousness created the world and the continent and the universe. Then the knower, who is the knower? You deludedly grasp to the mind. You think there is a mind that know, the knower. You think the knower is you. The knower become the living being, the traveler in time. This is karma. You take birth and you travel through time and space for eternity, following the law of karma. Means you get yourself lost and entangled in samsara. So that traveler in time is the fake one, is the deluded one. So you take the knower to be you, to be the living being. That's why you get trapped. Okay, we go on. From what place does emptiness appear? It appears where there is existence. From form Dhamma. Because form Dhamma also appear within emptiness. The sutta say, form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So now it's clear, that is to say, the true emptiness is not empty, and wonderful existence is not existent. To understand in the midst of unknowing, that is to fathom the fundamental source of the Dhamma. That is your genuine understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. That's why you have to finally go to the core, the fundamental source of all Dhamma. Take for example the dream I just discussed. If you don't understand dream and the source of their coming and the powers of their going, if you don't understand how you had the dream and how you awakened from the dream, then you don't know how you came to be born either, and how you will die. To understand while not knowing, that is enlightenment. You know this meaning or not? Very profound. To understand while not knowing. What is knowing? Eh? When you say you know, who know? The thought know. Knowing is knowledge. Understand not? So, thought based, you cannot penetrate. That's why he said, to understand while not knowing, without the thought. That is the direct seeing. Understand? That is enlightenment. Understand not? So that's why human beings, they cannot understand, because it defiles the logic. They always say, how can I have wisdom and become enlightened when I don't know, when there is nothing to know? Because ultimately there is nothing to know. You know why? What is knowing? When you know something means what? It's a knowledge, isn't it? I know this is a table. This is a knowledge, isn't it? But when I understand something, it's not rigid, you know. I understand why he is like that, why you are like that. When I say I know why he is like that, you die already. Well, you based on knowledge, you say you know. Means this moment you apply very rigid one. Because he angry, that's why he like that. You think everybody also like him later on. No, when there is wisdom, when you understand him, you will understand yourself, you will understand others. Or when you understand yourself, you will understand others. Because you know how you react inside, understand not? And everyone is different. And you know everyone is different because of that. The understanding is different, understand not? It's not rigid, it's not based on knowledge. It's not based on a memory. It's based on understanding. So when there is understanding, things are different. Therefore the verse read, form itself is emptiness, its true source is phantom. In enlightenment, you understand this truth. Emptiness itself is form. The false flow dries. False thinking is cut off. Understand? No more heedless thinking. So that it no longer exists. This is when the mundane mind collapses. If you want to comprehend the doctrine of emptiness and existence, you should take a look at that very place where there is neither emptiness nor form. So this is very interesting. That's why he quotes Hui Ning again. The great master Hui Ning, the sixth patriarch, said, with no thought of good and no thought of evil, at just this moment, what is the supreme one? What is the superior one? Hui Ning's original face. With no thought of good, is not been empty, and with no thought of evil, is not having form. The place where there is neither thought of good nor thought of evil is where there is neither emptiness nor existence. You should come and look into it and become enlightened. Where there is both emptiness and existence, then you will be capable of understanding that form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. So this part is very deep, very difficult. you must have the awakening to understand. Because this one he talked about Hui Ning, the expatria. That's why Hui Ning understand, he said, with no thought of good or no thought of evil, at just this moment, what is the superior one? Hui Ning's original face means the original nature, the true nature, the source of all things before anything arises. That's why he can tell Shen Xiu. Because the true mind is not the mirror bright understand, that is the mundane mind, understand? The one that Shen Xiu polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. That is the mundane mind. But Hui Ning already gone beyond. He know the true mind. True mind got nothing inside. That's why he said originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? If you don't create through your mundane mind, no duality, where got good, where got bad, where got evil, where got wholesome, understand not? So that's why Hui Ning no need to cultivate, understand not? Hui Ning see things as they are, realize the empty nature of existence, because the true mind is empty. If you don't create, like what the Buddha said, it must mean sati idang hoti. When this arises, that arises. Then when this ceases, that ceases. Means what? Duality. When you create one side, good. If it's not like that, the bad appears. So when you got good, automatically the other side appear. So Shen Xiu is still deluded because he has not break free from the mundane mind. He is at the gateway of enlightenment, but he cannot penetrate and break through. So he keep on having this idea that when you cultivate, you must avoid all evil and do good. Which is correct, isn't it? The advice of the Buddha is so he polish until it shines so that no dust can align. Means dust is defilement, evil, understand? So what he is trying to do is he only practice the first two, understand? Avoid all evil, do good. But when it comes purification of mind, the Buddha say go beyond thought, understand? Go beyond the duality, transcend duality, right and wrong, develop equanimity to see things as they are. So that one, he doesn't understand. That's why he continued to use the thought to meditate. Thought-based meditation, understand? When you use thought to meditate, you are caught. You always want to be fully aware, mindful, no defilement, no anger, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, because you think this is the pure mind, this is the pure state, understand? This is another side of duality. That's why you cannot live like that. So Hui Ning is very wise. He gave another poem to supersede what Shen Xiu has written. He said, Bohi is not a tree. Understand? Wisdom is not a tree. The true mind is not a mirror bright on a stand. Originally, he said, there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? Means what? If you don't create duality, if you don't create good and evil, no good means no evil, understand not? Thing is just the way it is. Why you want to go and labor? The moment you labor, you get into trouble. That's why you have to cultivate, understand not? You see, the deluded one, how foolish. They create right and wrong meditation, wholesome and unwholesome state of mind. Then, excuse me, through that creation, they want to purify, understand not? What are they doing? They created both. Then they want to kill one and hold on to one. Understand not? How can you do that? You create yourself. Why can't you understand that when I don't create, these two don't exist? Understand not? Then why you worry about good and bad? Understand not? Why you always want to cling on to the good, the mind state? Understand? You know how difficult to live life or not? Every day polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. It's like I tell you, every day go and polish your car. Huh? Make sure your car is brand new. Huh? You spend all your time doing that. You got time to do anything or not? To live life or not? Then anybody stain that car, you get very angry, very upset. Because Your focus is on polish until it shines, so that no dust can align. Then you see dust, you get angry. Who created the dust? You created that dust, understand or not? So when you have that wisdom to penetrate, then you know it's the mundane mind that creates duality, right and wrong, through your reaction of mind, understand or not? Your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant, these are the hindrance of mind, these are the evil roots. That's why originally there was nothing. So no need to create. Then when you have that understanding, deep penetrative understanding, the mind just silent and accepting as they are. Yeah. A deluded person will say deluded thing, isn't it? So no right, no wrong, isn't it? Otherwise you say, how can this fellow so foolish and so deluded? Huh? Keep on doing this type of thing because you perceive him with negativity. Then you say that angry person, he's so unreasonable, huh? He's so negative. All the words you use to the world is correct. But if you have wisdom, when you are able to accept him for what he is, see things as they are, angry person say angry thing. So he is just the way he is, isn't it? Correct or not? No right, no wrong, isn't it? Why you want to create right and wrong? It's through your delusion. You perceive in negativity. That's why you cannot free. Understand or not? That's why there is no equanimity, because there is no wisdom. You cannot see things as they are and accepting as they are. So this is the part very important. Huining come to know because he realized the true mind. He has gone beyond because he was born without the mundane mind. He come, his mind already like that. That's why when he delivered the wood to the cart wood to the merchant, he heard that merchant's good friend, neighbor. He was chanting the Diamond Sutta. When he reached that line, the mind must have no dwelling. He straight away enlightened, awakened. You know why? Because his mind was like that. No dwelling one. His mind don't hold on to anything. To him, he see things very clearly. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad. He just do his duty. That's why when he heard that beautiful Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling, he said, yeah, that's it. My mind was really like that. That's why he awakened. Then he woke up and asked that person, what is it that you are reciting? Huineng was illiterate, you know, don't even have any education, don't even know a single Mandarin word. But he can speak, huh? He can hear and understand. So he asked this person who chanted the Diamond Sutta. This person was very kind. He looked out and asked, why you ask? He said, you are a woodcutter. You are uneducated, isn't it? He said, but I can understand what you say. That scholar or that person was very surprised. You can understand, he said. I have been chanting this for so long, I never understand yet, he said. Then he said, you must be gifted. Then he asked him, where can I hear this type of chanting or teaching? Then that scholar or that friend said, you have to go to that monastery, the fifth patriarch, he teach this type of sutta. Then he wanted to go, but then his mother still around. So they plan for him, they say, you don't worry, we'll take care of your mother for you. Then they sponsor him, that's why he went, and he became the sixth patriarch, Huineng. So that was the very interesting story. Yeah, Ingbi. Mandarin. Ah, Pu Ti Peng Wu Su. Ming Qing Yi Fei Tai. Ben Lai Wu Yi Wu He Chu Re Shen Ai. So that one is very good. It's in the old notes. It's in the old notes. You go back to the early days. It's inside there. Okay, we go on. In true emptiness is true form. In true form is true emptiness. It follows that the form Dhamma is the original substance of emptiness, and the emptiness Dhamma is the face of form. Therefore, I have said that in the form Dhamma there is emptiness, and in the emptiness Dhamma there is form. For instance, this is the one. A mountain is a form Dhamma. If you level the mountain, then emptiness appears. Before the mountain was leveled, did the emptiness exist or didn't it? Yes, isn't it? It was already there. It did. When there is emptiness, does form exist as well? Yes. Form is there too. So you can see that where there is emptiness, form can also exist. Emptiness and form are one. This is the first level of explanation. Form and emptiness are analogous to ice and water. Why is there form? In emptiness occurs the transformation into ice. In emptiness, a fine dust collects, congeals itself, and becomes a form. When it disappears, there is emptiness. Therefore, emptiness is form, and form is emptiness. How does the transformation into form occur? When the weather is cold, the cold in the air changes water into ice. That is the way the transformation from emptiness to form occur. How does form change into emptiness? When the weather gets hot and melts the ice. But you say, dust cannot melt. Remember, this is just an analogy and does not imply that dust is ice. So this is at a very mundane level. They try to explain to you about form and emptiness. Because I was afraid that you wouldn't understand the principle, I lend you the analogy of ice and water. Don't seize upon it and suppose that dust and emptiness can be transformed into water and ice. Thinking that way is just like piling another head on top of your head. Such attachments are fundamentally non-existent. Yet when I explain the principle to you, you add one more level of attachment. If one so much attachment, I have no way to teach you to understand the doctrine of non-duality. See? Non-duality of emptiness and form. So you must wait until you look into it yourself and wake up to the principle. Perhaps then you will understand. Although there are all kinds of form dharma, in general the form dharma can be described in three broad classifications. Form, which can be seen and complemented, is called complementary or visible form. Form which can be complemented but not seen is called complementary and invisible. Form which can neither be seen nor complemented is called non-complementary and invisible. So the three kinds of form dharma are discriminated within the field of the six objects of perception. Sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch, and dhamma. This is how your sense or consciousness come to be. These are the sense data. When we complement, what is complementary visible form? They are dhamma which you can see, with which you can form a dhamma pair. People, self, others, and living being, mountain, river, the great earth, and tens of thousands of phenomena all have visible form. So they are all called complementary visible dhamma and are classified among the form dhamma. That is the first category. As to complementary invisible form, you can pair yourself with them, but you cannot see them. They include all of the sound, the smell, the taste, the object of touch, all of which can be complemented but not seen. Means not visible form. Understand now? Your visual form, they are visible form, visible to you. Understand now? But like sound, vibration, they are not visible. But scientists can pick it up. For instance, to pair yourself with a sound which is an object of perception is to enter into a complementary relationship with what you hear. Or this sound good, or this doesn't sound so good. You pair yourself with it and discrimination arises in the conscious mind. Yet you are unable to see the sound. Tell me, What color is sound? Green, yellow, red, or white? It doesn't have a color. Well then, is it square, round? Again, you can't answer. Not substantial visual appearance. No substantial visual appearance comes into being from the sound. Thus, the form Dhamma of this category is called complementary and invisible. Sound is a kind of form that is an object. That is an object of perception. That is, it belongs to the form Skanda of the five Skanda or your five aggregate. Form, feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. And so it is with smell. You can pair yourselves with smell, which are object of perception too. And know that there is a certain fragrance. Yet what does it look like? You cannot see it. Nevertheless, it still exists. But since it is not visible appearance, you are merely conscious of it. You recognize it without seeing it. When you use your tongue to taste, this is the same. Only the tongue can tell the palatable from the unpalatable. The fine flavor or the... Okay, we skip this. You cover your body with fine silk and you are warm and comfortable. The smooth touch. This is tactile consciousness. Perhaps sight, sound, smell, taste, and object of tactile or touch. The first five of the six sense, six object of perception, have passed by, or perhaps they persist in your mind consciousness, where they all leave a shadow. What is a shadow? Your eye, for example, see a color, and your mind consciousness know. What I just saw was red. I also saw yellow and green. Although the color had gone by, it traces, its trace remain in the mind consciousness. Only its shadow is left. The same is true of sound, smell, taste, and object of touch. Maintain that a certain phenomenon exists and it has already gone past. Maintain that it does not exist, yet you remember it. Although the object of perception are no longer present, although the events are past and the feeling gone by, shadows are stored in the mind consciousness through memory, and these are called Dhamma. So the six of the six object of perception, it belongs to the form Skanda, but is classified as non-complementary and non-visible. Because as soon as you try to pair yourself with the Dhamma, which is an object of perception, you find that it has already disappeared and no longer exists. You say that it doesn't exist, yet there is your mind consciousness that it persists, it still persists. And if it were carved on the wooden board, the shadow exists, but there is no way to see it, hear it, or seek it out. It's genuine character. Thus, the shadow of the first five object of perception fall into the mind consciousness and become non-complementary and invisible form. Okay, we finished this part. You see, I need to let you know one thing. The Mahayana teaching got one small problem. I call it a small problem because these are the extended skillful means that the previous Zen teacher or master used it to teach. Understand? I realize they go and break it down like the three type of form. But actually, under the Sakyamuni, the Theravada, the authentic tradition, they don't do that because not necessary. So these are the what I call it runs slightly, understand not? The real teaching that comes from Sakyamuni, very straightforward. In the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. He wants you to break through that. He doesn't want all this knowledge, understand not? Like visible form, saying that the hearing one, non-visible. Even after you learn, what does it teach you? You don't learn anything. But when you develop the understanding of what Sakyamuni said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. Means what? everything is condition arising, anasana. There is no one to see. And that is the real Dhamma, anasana. Anasana. And when it comes to form is emptiness, emptiness is form, is to see that all of form you come to know through perception, anasana. You take into the mind through perception. That's why it's condition arising, cause of phenomena. So upon contact, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only seeing conscious. You become conscious of what you see. No one to see yet. But the moment the egoic mind through Sakkaya Ditthi come in, it associates with the seeing. It says, I see, anasana. Therefore, the reaction of mind comes to be. Everything comes to be. So if you want to see the empty nature of form, like last time what we went through, that one is more meaningful, more deep. You go from external form, you return them all to mind through what? Through perception and consciousness. Then consciousness back to the pure awareness, then back to emptiness. Because all this come about through the gradual transmigration from the true nature, the source, there is nothing. Then this one come out and develop the pure awareness, the true mind, the essence of mind. But this one is not an entity, it cannot come out. So what it needs is, it needs a form and mind to come out. That's why through karma it creates the form and mind. And the form and mind grabs and cling on through what? Mental consciousness. That's why all of the external form that you come to perceive, they come to you through consciousness. So you have to return to all creation, all of phenomena, all external form. Whether it's visible, invisible or whatever, you return to mind, which is consciousness. Then consciousness back to the pure awareness. Then back to emptiness. Then the creation return and cease. Then you realize they are not real. They are all creation through consciousness. And consciousness is unreal because they keep on appearing, disappearing, arising and passing. That's why this one is impermanent, suffering state and non-self. But when it comes to the true nature, the Buddha never say sabbe dhamma anicchang, sabbe dhamma sankhara. No more. He only says sabbe sankhara. Understand? Anicchang. Sabbe sankhara dukkang. But he says sabbe dhamma anatta. All of dhamma, whether conditioned or unconditioned, is still anatta. Anasara. But impermanent and suffering is only with sankhara, the conditioned world. Anasara. Sankata dhamma. That's why it's nothing to do with the unconditioned. The unconditioned is no condition behind. If there is no condition, how can it be impermanent? Anasana. The impermanent come about through condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why it can exist and it can sustain itself and it can pass away. But if it's unconditioned, there is no such thing, anasana. That's why there is no such thing as impermanence. Then when there is no such thing as impermanent, there is no such thing as delusion that grabs and clings and conditions your suffering through wanting things your way. So that's why you see very clearly the Dhamma. One is existential, sankhara, mind make. The other one is beyond mind. That's why beyond mind there is no impermanent, no suffering. So when you return all of this creation backward, you will start to understand that all this come from delusion that grabs and clings. All of form, they only exist when the mind arises. Without mind, there is no form. All of perception also same. Without mind, there is no perception. So the phenomenal world, the world of consciousness, or external appearances that you come to, what they call perceive, they are all mind-make. Mind-make are they. When mind arises, everything comes to be. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. That's why perception, you must know its definition. phenomena and perception, they are linked. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena within the existential world. Understand? Where you can perceive it is a phenomena. Yeah. But the pneumonia you cannot perceive because it is beyond mind. Understand? That's why emptiness is beyond mind. That's why you must use the essence of mind, the true essence, the true awareness. Understand? And that one can be what they call aware of silence. Yeah. But when it comes to the phenomenal world, you can only use the mind, yeah, which can only be aware of hearing consciousness. Means what? You can only be conscious of the hearing that has this sense data, that has condition behind. When there is vibration, hit the eardrum, then you become conscious of what you hear. Understand? Sound, music, noise or whatever. But when there is no vibration, no sense data, there is no contact in it, no hearing consciousness in it. But how can the mind know silent? Silent is without vibration, without anything in it. So no sense data, no condition arising. Then how does the mind know? It's not conscious, no. It's aware inside. That is your true mind, the essence of mind. That's why the essence of mind is always there. Whether you are aware of it or not is another thing. If you are lost in thought, you are not connected, that's why you become heedless. You are lost. You forgot who you are. Yeah. So this is the Dhamma part that Sakyamuni taught and is so beautiful. Yeah. So all those that are not so critical and not so important, huh, we just let it be. Okay, we end. Huh? Okay, good. So we can have a break. Huh? Maybe 1 or 2 minutes. Huh? Then we come back for the second session. It's very good. Huh? Because through the bowing, when you can do it with understanding, mindfulness, like what I have described, huh, then I put it in the note. When you understand what sati is, when you compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadhana, this mind that is composed, very calm, that's why it can be very mindful. Then you pay respect. You try to recall to mind whatever virtue, wisdom, the perfection that the Buddha has cultivated. Through our chanting, salutation, homage to the Blessed One, the Worthy One and the Fully Enlightened, you develop this very strong faith. Then after that, you pay respect mindfully. When sadha, virya and sati is developed, your meditation will progress very fast. So the bowing can help you to develop a very stable sati very fast. Then after that you sit. You try to do it for 5-10 minutes or so, it will help. Then you sit. Like last Sunday we tried, it helps a lot of people. Because those who are restless, the mind cannot calm down. You try. Because when you bow, you don't think. You just do it with the faith. And when you settle in, after a few minutes, it becomes automatic. The body and mind move as one. This is like anapanasati, mindfulness of bodily movement, which is sati sambajana. So you must do the four posture, including the bowing. So upright position, down to like prostrating. Then after that you come out. So this movement can develop a lot of mindfulness. For those who want to try, you can try. For those who prefer sitting, you can sit. It's up to you. Okay, we start. You can chant either Namo Bansi Sijie Moni Fo or Namo Kwan Sim Pusa. Whoever the Buddha or Bodhisattva that has affinity with you, when you chant, you develop the faith, then you bow. Later on, the chanting can stop. It's only the awareness and mindfulness. But initially, it helps you because it develops the faith. Then the affinity and the connection. Okay, we will start. Then after that, you can sit. Then I will ring the bell maybe after about half an hour. mindfully come out of meditation. Okay. Just relax yourself. As usual, always remember you have to try your very best to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner awareness and mindfulness that you have developed. Maintain them for as long as you can throughout the day. This is what the Buddha called heedfulness. Once you have trained the mind in sati, it is silent, is aware within, is heedful. Then use this trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate, to develop the wisdom through the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the four foundation of mindfulness, and all of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. As long as you maintain your heedfulness to be aware of everything that is going on, the wisdom will come. Okay, now we come to the second session. Make full use of this second session to report your meditation. Then you can also, at the same time, ask me any question you want with regards to the meditation, the teachings of the Buddha, and how we can apply what we have learned here to help us understand life, develop the wisdom to resolve all of our life situation and problem, so that we need not have to suffer anymore, so that we need not have to become afflicted. Okay, anybody wants to report their meditation or ask any question? Anybody? Don't worry about your question. Whatever you're not sure, you can ask. Or it's better to report your meditation, I think, so that we can discuss it and I can guide you along. What about Sui at the back? You want to report your meditation? Yeah. We just want to hear from you sharing. Just describe exactly how you went through your meditation. Just report and share.
The usual experience. Mind is very still.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I feel the heat in my body again. You know, the usual.
Oh, which part? Because
body.
I know, body. You must understand. At Wu Ping Jing Se, this is not our usual meditation place where you got the luxury of aircon, all those things. Here is very good because I like it because it's natural environment. So if you can meditate here, you go to aircon place, you meditate very well. You ask those Subang people, they go meditation Thursday class because sweet and they aircon, they will do much better. If you can meditate under this condition, then you will be able to do it anywhere. So when you come here, you have heat, there are a few possibilities. The heat develop over time or what? Does it always happen when your mind is calm, still, then after a while the heat build up?
Yes, yeah. Sometimes the heat will build up. The heat is not that I'm feeling hot, you know.
I know.
It's a different kind of warm, sensation. It's a different kind of...
Yes.
It's a pleasant kind of sensation rather than, you know, the complaining type.
Yes. Now I get you better.
So,
very good. So when the heat come out, are you affected by the feeling? Does it make your mind stir or disturb?
No. I just feel I'm
means you are aware of the heat, then it is something pleasant, huh?
Yes,
something very pleasant.
Yeah,
ah, it's very good.
Yes.
So what you can do is you just relax more, then you just allow it to be. Then you will come to understand more. Because like the Buddha said, our this physical body, they are made up of the four elements. The four elements are the earth element, which is solidity. You can experience them all over. Then you have the wind element. The wind element are the one that give the vibration, the heartbeat, the motion. All this, you will come to be aware, and you will experience them within your own form and mind. Your breathing is a wind element. Your heartbeat is a wind element. The vibration within your body is a wind element. The pulse that you can feel and experience is a wind element. Your ability to feel the flow of your blood, everything, is a wind element. Then you got what they call heat, which is what you are experiencing. Heat is temperature. It's actually energy. So when you are calm, when you are still, when you develop the meditation, what happens is the yin and yang within, they will build up, understand not? So if your yin and yang is balanced, you will be normal. But under this type of environment, because there is no aircon, there will have a tendency of warm. Because sometimes you can also sweat, because it's quite humid. But if your mind is not affected, that is more important. Your mind that understand can accept the reality of whatever that arises. So when it has this ability to accept whatever that arises through understanding and wisdom, there is equanimity, there is no reaction, then the hindrance of mind does not appear, understand not? Even the pleasant sensations, sometimes for certain meditators, if they don't have the understanding or wisdom, they tend to cling. They tend to what they call attach to this state of mind. Then they feel very good. Then every time they meditate, they look forward to such experience. Then it becomes attachment. And when they cannot get that type of experience, the mind like not happy. Why today my meditation is not good, not smooth? That is attachment. But you understand that it is a normal phenomena. When the yin and yang is not balanced, some form of heat will build up. But for your case, it's very good. It's quite normal. There's this balance there. Otherwise, you don't feel the nice feeling, the warmness. And this is the one, if you can maintain this style of meditation, you go to cold weather, temperate country, or very cold country, your meditation will help you. It will help you keep warm. Really. I did it in Australia, New Zealand. I just silenced my mind, relaxed. Actually, it was minus don't know how many degrees outside. Very cold. But of course, I got a little bit of warm clothing. But still very cold. But the moment I sit, relax, and aware, the warmth inside is so good. Then the mind is so clear, so much clarity. Then there is so much joy. Then it can actually experience and perceive the beauty of the nature there. When I go to New Zealand especially, even Australia also, but New Zealand very pronounced, I can feel that country, the consciousness is so different, so pure, so beautiful, so different from ours here. Like very little human pollution, very little of this negative consciousness. That there is this nature's what they call pristine type of purity, very pure that nature, and there is a lot of calmness, a very peaceful, tranquil state. The consciousness are very pure. Then even the food I eat, I realize it's so different. I eat already, my whole body feels so good. Compared to our food here. Our food here is, I don't know, because of the consciousness or what, I don't know. Then the other thing about heat is, there are those who do concentration, samatha. If you develop that type of concentration, if your yin and yang is not balanced, means your wisdom is not there, then they have a situation of extreme heat and sometimes extreme cold. There are cases of meditator who become so heated up the body. Ladies, you know, they have to take off their shirt even in the aircon room because the heat buildup was very strong. Their yin and yang not balanced. They touch the gland. Actually, it's tempering. They go and they think it's opening chakra. They temper with their chakra. You do it without wisdom, and when your yin and yang is not balanced, when it touch the wrong side, you will experience extreme either heat or cold. Then that one can give them problem. Some, they actually got a lot of problem. Then they come and consult and see people. Then there are some, when they play with energy field, they attract non-human. They call them maras. Mara can come and attack you, delude you, and create problem for you. That's why they can get into trouble. So when you develop this type of meditation, energy based, concentration based, you have to be careful. But what we are doing, you don't worry. It's just to develop the awareness, the wisdom part, so it won't affect. But don't go and focus and concentrate and develop all the energy field. Try to avoid that. If you have it from your past, you know how to do naturally, then okay, do, but don't get attached. Don't be deluded by what happened. Finally, you need to relax everything out. Come back to normal awareness and develop the daily mindfulness. That is how you develop your wisdom. Okay, Sui, good. Anything else apart from the calmness, the stillness, and the warmth? Anything else? Nothing. Good. So nowadays, you can sit better. What about at home? Do you sit? Oh, you seldom, huh? Oh, very good. Means you have your past, otherwise you cannot. Because most people, they have to do it regularly to build up this ability to become calm, peaceful, and silent. Then, what about your daily mindfulness? Are you able to bring this trained mind that is quiet, calm, still, and aware within into your daily life? Are you able to do that now? Yeah. Not yet, huh?
Yeah, still
never mind.
Yet,
you should try, huh? You should try.
A lot of things, situations, etc. still trigger me, and I feel very agitated, very irritated,
and then I will
start to be very mindless.
good. That is what the normal mind is. When you are confronted with situation, like you said, then you feel agitated because your mind state can still be conditioned into negativity. This is due to your habitual tendency that you have accumulated over the past maybe 10 to 20 years. Because habitual tendency are born of our wrong view, our selfishness, and our emotional negativity. We have this wrong view. we tend to have certain preference. Then when things don't go our way, our views, our opinion of certain thing and certain person, when they don't behave the way we want them to or we expect them to, then we become afflicted, agitated, unhappy. Then we start to react. That's how you become what you are. So it makes you very heedless, because these are evil root: anger, hatred, dislike, emotion. So this is the Dhamma that you should learn to see. Then you ask yourself, how can I understand the Dhamma, use it, apply it, so that I can transform this form and mind, my understanding, to allow me to become a totally different person. So this understanding is very important. Like the Buddha said, you reflect and contemplate. Why are you agitated? How come it still has the power to make you heedless after that? You become mindless and heedless is because after you are disturbed, you cannot become peaceful and calm. Then you got to go back and sit again. So this one is like temporary measure, interim measure. Every time you feel unhappy, agitated, most people will go back and calm their mind down, which is very good, very effective, one of the skillful means. But you should at the same time, during your quiet moment when you are peaceful again, reflect and contemplate, develop the wisdom. Why are you still like that? How come the habitual tendency is so powerful? Because it's called habitual tendency. That's why you react habitually. Because you have think about it for so long, carry that wrong view for so long, that's why it automatic just come out like that, understand not? It become like a habit. And these are very difficult to root out. Very difficult to root out. The Buddha call it anusaya, latent tendency, habitual tendency, very deep. So to root this out, you need a lot of wisdom and understanding. You need to reflect. How can I cultivate this noble eightfold path to reverse all this, to free my mind, to free my mind from all the entanglement and suffering? That's how you develop the three turning or the four noble truth. Then the noble eightfold path is very important. Right view to condition the right thought, right speech, right action, so that you no longer react like before, the habitual tendency and all those things. So reflecting and contemplating deep into the Dhamma help. It's just like what you are going through, the agitated state, the unhappy mind. This is actually wrong thought, evil root. So you reflect, contemplate, then you develop the understanding, the wisdom. You develop this second turning wisdom on the Four Noble Truths. That mind state that you've gone through is actually part of your attachment to this wrong view that you have. Because you are conditioned to react that way. So you have to identify that wrong view. How it makes you like that? Means when you perceive a person with negativity, you write them all down one by one, then you start to see them. Then you reflect. In fact, there is another lady who teach the work. You heard of the work? He asks four questions to every problem, and he gets the problem resolved. Her name is Byron Katie. She wrote some quite good books. She got four questions. She questioned her thought, because she realized every time her thought that conditioned her fear, misery, suffering and unhappiness, sorrow and lament, these are all wrong thoughts. So her query is very simple. It teach people how to identify your problem and how to reverse it. First, he said, ask yourself this question. When that thought arises, Like when your thought create unhappiness in you, cause you to be very agitated, very unhappy. Then you check. What thought created this? The thought that perceives certain people with negativity. Yeah? Then when you see that person, you immediately react. Understand? Whatever he say or do also, you react. Then you ask the first question, is it? Is this the truth? What the thought tell you? The thought will say, this guy is negative. This guy is what and what and what because of your past memory. Dislike him. Eh? Get angry with him. Scold him or whatever. So you ask, is this the truth? Of course, you will say, it's the truth. In reality, you have been thinking along for so long this way. Then he moved to the second question, is it? Are you sure it is the absolute truth? Of course, most people, first time when you do the work, you will say, yeah, this is the truth. I'm very sure. That's why every time I see him, I'm not happy. Then the third question gives you the answer. When you think that thought, what happened to you? What happened to you? When you believe that thought and think that thought, what happened to you? You become unhappy, right? You become angry, right? Emotional, right? All your suffering come to be, right? Then I teach you one more step. She never say one. Make a note. These are wrong thoughts. Thought that condition my unhappiness, my fear, my sorrow, my lamentation, my selfishness, my anger, my emotional negativity, my delusion. Wrong thought. Then the fourth question is the best. Without the thought, who are you? What happened to you? Means if you don't think that thought, before you are angry, before you are disturbed, you are peaceful, like you mentioned in the meditation, you are calm, very peaceful still. But how come when the situation arises, the habitual tendency trigger off, then you think that thought? Because you believe in your wrong view, your perception of who he is and how you react. Then you realize, yeah, without that thought, I am peaceful. So why do I cling to that thought? That view, that opinion, that conditioning, like Krishnamurti said. Because your wrong view that you hold on to condition you to behave like that and think like that. So now you see the point. This is what attachment is. You attach to what you see and what you perceive. You perceive that person with negativity. That's why you have this habitual tendency of dislike, anger, hatred, evil root. All inside there. And you cannot see. That's why you don't apply the Dhamma. You don't understand. But when you apply the Dhamma one by one, then you start to see, oh, this is wrong thought. I must arise the right effort to abandon it. Then prevent it from arising. Then I must develop and work on the right thought, wholesome thought, right speech, right action, and right thought process. Through this, you reverse all this habitual tendency. Yeah. Then you can add in one step, the inquiry. You add the fifth one, you say, my life, I decide how I want to live. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely my choice. I hold the key to my own life destiny. Why can't I choose to be happy? Why must I continue to allow this delusion carry through the habitual tendency to condition me into wrong thought, negativity? So when you inquire like that, you know how to make the right choice. Then you say, from now onward, I will arise the right effort to abandon this wrong thought, this wrong view. I am going to perceive things differently through wisdom, through understanding. I will have right view. The law of karma, understand? You reap what you sow. Because in the past, what you did to people will come back to you. So all this karmic negativity and suffering will come back to you. This is what you did to people. You develop this tendency to be angry with people, understand? Then you reap what you sow. People become angry with you again. So all this come back, understand? Like father-mother relationship, or parent and children relationship. So if you have been a good parent before, very kind, very loving, very understanding, you provide for them, you sacrifice for them, then you never expect anything in return. So because of that, you have done your duty well. Karma is you reap what you sow. So when you come, you will have parents who are very good to you, care for you, provide for you, understand you, and love you. But if you have this negative tendency from the past, when you are a parent, you neglect your duty, you don't look after your children, you don't love them, you do all those things that are so heedless and irresponsible, then when you are born into this world, you will have parents who do the same to you. Understand? Every time scold you, blame you, dislike you, torture you. Yeah, this is what you have done to people before. So that's why you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So what I'm trying to explain to you is nothing to do with what you have done in the past. The past is already gone. Forget about it. What you need to understand is you must have right view to accept the reality. Understand? Now my parents do this to me. It's because in the past I do this as parent to my children. Now I have parents who do back to me. Understand? So I accept this as karma, means what? You reap what you sow. Fair enough. So no more blaming, no more angry. Ask for forgiveness. Develop this understanding. Ask for forgiveness from whomsoever in the distant past until now, that I have actually created some karmic negativity or wrong understanding and wrong view. In whatever way that I have hurt them, harm them, or do anything that is selfish, that condition their suffering, I now sincerely ask for forgiveness. May I be forgiven. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be happiness for them all. Then, wherever they are, may the Buddha Dharma be with them. May they too learn to free their mind, so that this karmic, what they call repercussion, can be resolved amicably. So through that, you become what they call very sincere to develop the forgiveness or repentance. Then after that, vow, make aspiration not to repeat this thing anymore. To avoid all evil, do good, keep your precept, have goodness, kindness, develop the Noble Eightfold Path. And then you develop the understanding of how to talk to people. The right effort to cultivate the wholesome speech, the pleasant and gentle, wholesome, beneficial speech that brings about harmony, love, understanding, kindness and goodness. Then your speech becomes very pleasant, very gentle. It brings about harmony, no more negativity. Then there is love, there is compassion. Then relationship starts to improve. So when you have right speech, you can also cultivate right action. Generosity, kindness to provide and help for people. To do service to your community, the temple. Join various organizations that do all the wholesome things. So all of your right action, right speech, and your right thought can bring forth the goodness, the good condition for relationship to flower, to become very much better. So this is all the possibility. So after you have done this, you change. You are able to reverse all those karmic negativity. And then cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. to constantly free your mind. So the Buddha Dhamma is very simple. When you understand, arise the right view. Right view will condition your right thought, right speech, right action. Right view will give you wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, law of karma, that's it, finish. Because of what I did to people in the past, now it come back to me. So I accept this reality. Then I arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And I cultivate mindfulness to develop the wisdom to free the mind. So Noble Eightfold Path fall into place. Then you can actually have the good life, the happy life. Okay, see?
Thank you.
No problem. So, anybody else got any question? What time already? Oh, another 15 over minutes, don't worry. Anybody got any other question or reporting? Okay. Use the mic, otherwise the recording cannot hear your question.
Just now you mentioned about the chakra thing.
Yes.
Because I also practice qigong.
Yes.
So our qigong master teaches how to open our
chakra.
It okay to just open the crown chakra?
Okay, maybe I will explain a little bit. I know a lot of Chinese. You do qigong, you do tai chi. Those exercises are very good, no problem about it. It brings about well-being, calmness, health, and all those things. But they have different type of what they call practices that lead to different type of what they call result. So it depends on what you want. There is no right and no wrong. You see, what is chakra? Chakra are nerve centers. Understand? Nerve centers, they are major chakras. They call it chakra. The smaller ones are called nadis. Understand? These are all the nerve centers that hold on to the vibration. That's why they got various main chakras that keep you alive. Understand? And the human body is the miniature of this universe. That's why he said we have the seven chakras. They are the miniature of the seven constellations of this universe. There are these seven major constellations in this universe that vibrate accordingly. So that's why we are born from nature, we come, understand? That's why the Christian teaching said we are all born in the image of God. In that sense, it's not wrong, because from nature we come, understand? Then all these are vibrating. You have your parasympathetic nerve and everything. So people have come to understand the spiritual world. If you can enhance this nerve center, you can strengthen the vibration. Understand? Then it can make you powerful. But the trouble is, how do you open chakra? That is the question. When your mind is not enlightened, when your thought has this yin and yang, you know what is yin and yang? The duality, because you don't have wisdom yet, no equanimity. So when you use your thought to focus on your crown, or your third eye, or your throat chakra, or your heart chakra, or your tan tien, or your whatever they call it, the seven chakra, you are actually tempering. But it can build up, because energy field is like that. Your mind, wherever you put your attention on, understand not? Wherever you put your thought on, or attention on, it will build up energy, do you know that? Because these are all mental energy that come from your karmic force. So every moment you use thought is energy based. So when you send this thought to your chakra, they will be sent into your that nerve center. So if you do it constantly, then it's like you're enhancing that place. That's why people can get into trouble. You need to balance your yin and yang. Sometimes they feel very hot, sometimes they feel very cold. Then sometimes they develop the energy from here, they push it. That's why it gives you vitality and all those things. But when you do this, you are thought-based, understand? Then your awareness sacrifice. You sacrifice your awareness. You are in the field of thought. You involve yourself with psychic and all those things, all the energy field. But when you do awareness, you don't use your energy field that way. Yeah. That's why the true meditation that the Buddha teaches is different. But I'm not telling you it's wrong. It's up to you. That's why I say different people want different things. He want help, he want energy, he want to have this ability to like, all the weapon cannot harm you and hurt you. You go and do this type of meditation, understand? Yeah, this is what people want. Then it like kung fu, like you very strong, you be. But ultimately, body is just a body. They still die, understand? Maybe they live longer, 120, 130 or what. But ultimately, this form still die. So what you want is wisdom. But if you need to build up your health, then go and do, no problem. It really improve your health. You can develop qigong, you're this tan tian or what. Then this energy center send the energy out. It can heal the other organ, I tell you. Because this is what qi is all about. Reiki and all those things is tapping the nature's Reiki energy through mantra and all those things, or through the symbol that they focus on. They repeat that it went in. Then, because they are certain energy they tap from nature, then they do it to you. They talk about opening up the Reiki points, so that you are sensitive to energy. Then you go and read it. It's not read it, because when you try to connect something, that side also connect back to you. Means you try to interfere with their sickness and all things. So all the negative karmic energy also come back to you. That's why those who do all this Reiki and all things, if you are not careful, if you don't know how to funnel it out, if you don't know how to funnel this negative energy out through your wisdom and your non-attachment, you get entangled in your body. And it will create karmic for you too. That's why they all have sickness. They all also have negative karma. Because you temple. Then when you do all this, it's not the actual opening of chakra. You can call that opening, but to those who understand, it's not. Whereas the Buddhist way, the Buddha's way, the Bodhisattva way is different. You train yourself in wisdom. Your insight into the characteristic of nature, then when you are not deluded, you have equanimity. That's why your yin yang is balanced. Then after that, they don't go and use this pure thought to open also. No point. Because they realize when you go like that, you can still make mistake. Because by nature, human being that use thought can still have greed, desire and all those things. So what the Buddha they all did, the Bodhisattva, they develop love and compassion until this virtue becomes so strong, when they really can feel the deep love, the deep compassion, then their mind are so calm, so still, so stable. Suddenly they are able to connect to their heart. There is a gateway to go in. This gateway is very special. Your mind must be completely silent without thought. Then only you can detect, then only you can go in. Otherwise you cannot. So during that time, you must have wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot detect this gateway. Then when you detect this gateway, it is slightly to the left of your heart. That's why I say silence your mind and feel your heart. Then when you detect it, very easy one. All of your energy field that you have developed, whether you do tan tian or what, they will all flow over here. Because this is the gateway to your nature. is the melting pot of all the energy field that you have. And this is the center that can allow you to go in. We call it the gateway. So when it reaches this point, everything melts inside. But because that nature got no duality, all your yin yang energy is transformed into pure energy. This is the one that go in, then it connect with the whole system inside. All of your chakra energy from inside. And this is the pure energy that actually is already wise. It opened by itself. It will know which one to open. It will flow in and it will do the work itself. That's why the thought energy is not wasted outside in creating that thought to do that storage. It's just silent, relax, and aware that everything melts inside. The life force energy all melts inside. That's why I say it's too expensive to use it to heal. Like you got blockage or what. Last time, I don't know. I can feel it, use my awareness. Then I use this pure energy to clear. I realize it's so foolish because it's just to clear this body. You go and see a doctor, maybe he can give you something. It can be cleared so fast. You use all this type of thing, it's a waste. So what I later realized was I silenced my mind, allow all this to go in. Then you know what happened? It starts to heal me inside. During the early day, 20 over years ago. Then all of the chakras stabilize by itself. Everyone stabilize by itself. Then this body, like a car, you know a car, C-A-R, perfectly tuned. You know what is perfectly tuned. All the chakra perfectly tuned. Until the engine like no sound. It's running. Very smooth, no sound. And that time I can feel my this entire body, like perfect body. That time you know, no sickness, disease, everything healed. The whole body become like perfect human being. Then you are engulfed with this pure energy inside. That's why that time I can do 24-hour meditation. I don't need to sleep. And then everything very, very, I cannot explain to you. So during that time, a lot of things happen. It just do itself, the trust. I never do anything. I just relax, silent, everything go in. Through the trust, no more thought, no more interference. It will just do. Which part need to clear, which part need to be tuned, it will tune by itself. I just silent. Then the cessation, everything come. That's why it's a very different meditation. But these are for those who go further beyond the sainthood way. If you do the sainthood, you don't have to go to this gateway. You don't need. From the normal teaching that the Buddha teach you, you can become enlightened. You can become aware. But you take the Bodhisattva way to be a Sammasambuddha, then you have to go in. Then you have to open up all these things. And this opening is by itself, not through the thought. So this is a very different type of meditation. And this one very rare. Very few cultivator or being can know about this. Because I got one teacher who passed me this understanding. He said, "Theo, do you know? You are very lucky." I said, "Why?" All those who can reach this gateway, by the time they already 80 or beyond. Understand? 80 years old and beyond, most of them. And you can have it at 80 and beyond, you are very lucky already. Because this one sometimes take many, many lives and you don't know what it is, you cannot come to it. Whereas the Bodhisattva way, they have to perfect their perfection, the 10 perfections. The 10 perfection they have to do until the 7 or 8 level of Bodhisattvahood cultivation. There are 10 stages of Bodhisattvahood to become Sammasambuddha. You have to reach the 7 or the 10 to reach this point, to be able to do this type of meditation. That's why it's very different, very different. So it depends on what you want. No right, no wrong. So the advice is don't simply play with it. Learn the exercise, do the mindfulness, no problem. But don't go and store anything if you don't understand. If you want to try, you can try. After that, you find out yourself. What does it bring about? It's only energy field, not understanding. If you can transform you and develop wisdom, then use it. But as far as I know, it will block because this energy will make your external, what they call energy field, very strong. So when you hold on to energy field, you cannot hold on to awareness. Understand? You hold on to the thought. Understand? Because it's thought based. Then you get very interested in thought. But if you do just mindfulness, aware, then don't store anywhere. Just develop the relaxed state of mind. Understand? Then develop the mindfulness. Then just do your anapanasati. Anapanasati is very good. Because anapanasati actually free the mind. Free the mind. Anapanasati is awareness, no concentration. Understand? Awareness of in and out breath. Then until you got no more breathing, your mind is sati. And then you do the four foundation of mindfulness. Understand? That's why I don't ask you to do the Hindu chakra. Crown chakra, what chakra? The Hindu one is more powerful. Kundalini, seven chakra they open on. That's why they can like create a lot of psychic ability. Yeah. Okay.
But Brother Teo.
Yes.
Qi Gong, like Tai Chi Qi Gong, is also like sitting, but it's more for like curing rheumatism.
Yeah. That's why it's for health. For health.
But if you do it for health, is it alright?
No problem. It's okay. That's why I say it depends on what you want. You can try it. If your body is weak and sick, it's just like the Buddha said, if somebody shoot you with a poison arrow, don't go and ask who shoot me. What is his name? What poison he used? You better treat the wound first. Otherwise you die. By the time you want to find the answer to all this, you will have died. You just identify what happened, then do. So if your health is very bad, you need to do qigong or whatever to strengthen your tan tian or what, and heal your body, then only you can meditate, then do it. Understand or not? Don't worry about it. But if you have a choice, if you are quite healthy already, then you just develop the mindfulness of qigong. But qigong also, like Leslie, she also very good. She has been doing this style of, don't know what, qigong. She not here today, huh? Yes. That one also, and she very good. She come and tell me, well, dear, thank you. I don't store the energy. She feel very good. Understand not? The mindfulness, the calmness, everything. If you know how to do, then you do it with awareness. When you do it with awareness, you are very safe. Actually, ultimately, it also heal you. When your mind is very calm, very soothing, very peaceful, a lot of wisdom, your vibration become very different. Because your virtue, your goodness, your noble eightfold path, they will bring about a very good condition for your mind state to become very wise, full of virtue, full of goodness and kindness. And the loving kindness, the compassion when you radiate out, they are so wholesome. Then you reap what you sow. Whatever goodness, good vibration you send out, all come back to you. That's why with that type of mind, you can tap nature's energy. You can tap the cultivator's energy. Then your heart open up. That's why when you bow, you put your hand like that, there is this energy that go to your heart chakra. Then when you do your mindfulness, you return to your heart. It's like opening up this one. But this is like initially like tempering. But at least you with awareness, you are not using thought, understand? Or you aware, return. So those who wants to do all this storing of energy, If you silent your mind until you are so peaceful, you use your awareness to be aware, then okay, not so bad. But don't go and build this up unless it's what you want and is necessary for you. Otherwise, you just develop this awareness and just silent your mind. Then the gateway you will detect. Then when it go in, huh, it do everything by itself. Then all of your energy that you build up into your Tan Tian or your heart or your whatever chakra, they start to flow inside. They will be drawn in by itself. It's like water finds its own level. Then they are all, it's like an energy soothingly, it just flow inside, I remember. Then when it melt inside, it's so still, so silent, so soothing. And your activity of mind all no more. The thought all no more, cease. That's why it can go into cessation after that. Very different type of meditation. And that time was 1988 or 89, I think. I was doing it in 88 and 89. Then within a few months, everything happened. It just happened so fast. The whole thing just happened. That's why this type of meditation, the Buddha Dharma, is very different. But this one, only those who really go all the way to the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha, they do. Otherwise, if it's wisdom way, no need. You cultivate his teaching enough. That's why he said the handful of leaf is conducive for enlightenment, the Four Noble Truths. No need to do all this complicated thing. Don't get what they call distracted by the word chakra and all those things. Sometimes people get very excited. Oh, my chakra open already. I already in what state of mind, what jhana and all those things. You have to be careful. So anyway, no right, no wrong. You decide what you want. Okay, we better end. I think exceeded. 6:32. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit, then we end. Akasata cha bhavata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired and may all devas rejoice and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Sharing our merits with the departed relative. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and may they all too be well and happy. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest. May the world be prosperous and peaceful. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patia. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu. sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we pay respect to Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the other worthy ones.
Let's express our heartfelt thanks to Brother Teo for by three mindful bow to Sikya Muni.
Yeah, I rejoice to sadhu to you.